Father, I ask you to speak to us today. I ask, Lord, that the message that's on your heart will be spoken here by your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I ask you to speak the words. Lord, the words come out of my mouth or not, Lord, I ask that your message would come to the hearts of every person here today, Lord Jesus. And Lord, that your name would be honoured. Lord, you speak your word. You are the living word, Lord Jesus. And I ask for your grace. I ask for your help in communicating this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning, the Lord's put on my heart just to talk about a move of the Holy Spirit that's been going on around the world since 1999. It's little known, little heard about. It's made the news in various parts of the world. But I'd like just to share and look at it this morning together and ask the questions, what can we learn from this move of the Holy Spirit? What is the Lord saying to us today through this? And how can we apply these lessons in our own life? So this story starts with a man by the name of Pete Grieg, who as a young man had done pretty much anything exciting he could think of for God. He'd driven relief vans for Romanian orphanages, smuggled Bibles into China, worked in Hong Kong with heroin addicts alongside Jackie Pullinger, and in London amongst the homeless. But he knew there was something more, and he was looking for a community where he could be planted and find accountability. He didn't want to be a lone ranger. And found himself being spiritually fathered by a man named Roger Ellis and other places in a place called, now I don't know how to say this properly, so forgive me, those from England, Chichester in the UK. He arrived to discover a mini revival going on amongst the local gothics, punks. He describes them as tree-hugging, tie-dyed crusties, and dreadlocked alternatives. Every one of these different types of people you could find in town. Guys with chains from their ears to their noses. Girls with Mohicans. There was deliverance, drugs, Satanists getting saved, spectacular blacksliding, eating disorders, and self-abuse. And so this is the background in which Pete was discipled and really grew up in the Lord. And then after that was all happening in the 1980s, and as the 1980s turned into the 1990s, these young people who were getting saved were getting married, becoming more family-oriented. And so Pete was called upon by the Lord to plant a new congregation, this church, this mother church now, planting a new congregation on the other side of town called The Warehouse. And straight away, as I'm telling this story, you start to hear similarities or common values or things that you just might think, oh, that's interesting. For example, the search for accountability and fathering. Here we are in a warehouse ourselves. And as they planted this church, there was a new explosion of creativity, and they were really, what they were trying to do was build cross-cultural churches. On the mission field, they talk about cross-cultural missions. And so the kind of church you might find in India or Indonesia might be, there'll be some churches which are specifically designed and styled and targeted to reach out to Muslims or Hindu type people. Well, these churches were particularly designed and styled to reach out to those lost young people in those communities. But as they planted these new churches, they wanted fundamental values of community and relationship rather than programs and platform ministry alone. So again, we're hearing these common values. And Pete, however, found himself increasingly restless, because while he could see strategies and plans to plant more of these churches, God was saying, your way is not my way. And that really God was saying there was another way to reach that generation, this generation, for Christ. And so he became desperate not to miss God, and found himself calling out to God for answers. And so around this time, it was 1999, he was on a holiday through Europe. And they were staying in a place called Hernhut. His wife was sick on this particular day, and so he took his son out for a tour. And they visited a place. They're in Germany, and we've often heard of this place. It was the place where the Moravians were, Count Zinzendorf's now derelict chateau, castle. And as he toured around this place, and he'd heard of the stories, but it just struck him just how ordinary this place was. A small village, 32 houses, that we now have heard of many times about the revival that took place amongst the Moravians, the move of the Holy Spirit that sparked such unity, such mission, and such prayer. Their prayer meeting lasting for 100 years as they continued to pray in cycle 24/7, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And so he found this experience very inspiring. He said there's no shining lights, but just an idea that wouldn't go away. He knew that God had been calling them to prayer, but they were also very bad at it, with only a handful of people faithfully attending the prayer meetings. He'd also remembered the testimony of a man from Africa who'd planted churches, and for this man, young man from Africa, their way of planting churches was you'd just fast and pray for 40 days in the location, and they would, with a few friends, they'd just pray around the clock 24 hours a day for 40 days, and then they would plant the church. And normally there would be some supernatural things that took place to spark the planting of the church. And so this testimony is in his mind. And so this idea that wouldn't go away was that if the Moravians could pray for 100 years, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, then maybe their congregation could pray for a week or a month. And so after getting home, he shares the stories, and the youth congregation was inspired. They took a bare white room next to the church offices and turned it into a place that was conducive to prayer, with draped linen and lamps and tea lights and a tree with fairy lights and one of the walls covered with paper for people to write their prayers. And he said after the first few hours he went home, he was a bit discouraged. It had been pretty hard going praying, and he couldn't imagine how they were going to be able to pray for a whole week, let alone a whole month. And he was especially not looking forward to his shift, which was at 3 a.m. But when he came back at 3 a.m, was amazed to find the prayer room buzzing. And here on the walls were written all of these prayers, and people had started drawing, and there was these expressions, and the worship going on. He found just the time, the first hour just seemed like 10 minutes, and he wished he'd signed up for two. And soon word spread that the best shifts of the prayer cycle were in the middle of the night, often with an electric sense that you were keeping watch alone with God. Soon all the time slots were filled and momentum gathered. And so one month rolled into two, and 2 months rolled into three. They looked back over the time, they found that new salvations had been occurring. As new Christians came to the Lord, they just found it natural to be spending time in the prayer room. They thought it was strange that it hadn't been that way before. There was all kinds of visions and supernatural experiences taking place. They learnt lessons in this time from John Dawson, who talks about prayer. He said, John Dawson says, everybody prays. He says, even non-Christians pray. He says, the difference is when Christians pray, they're climbing into the lap of their Heavenly Father. And really, as I share this story today, the thing I want to focus on is the move of the Holy Spirit that started to take place as they prayed. The issue isn't really how they prayed. The fact that it was 24/7 prayer isn't really the subject of my focus today. The fact is, they prayed. And that's what I'm wanting to come in on. They were praying in different ways. Mightn't have thought of a painting or a drawing as being a prayer. You mightn't have thought of just... Well, we've often talked about listening prayer. And this is what they started to discover too. When you're in a prayer room for a while, or you just go away for a time of prayer, it really doesn't take very long to run out of words to God. And you're left with this time of silence. But that silence itself is a prayer. And the amazing thing that takes place is your spirit communes with God's spirit, and even the silence is a prayer to God. The other thing they learnt, the first thing that they learnt was about this lesson of just climbing into the lap of the Heavenly Father. The next thing they learnt was that prayer is not about changing something out there as it is about changing something in here. And that you yourself become the prayer. The words in the Bible where it says to pray always, the literal translation out of the Greek words was to come to rest. The rest which flows from unceasing prayer needs to be sought at all costs, even when the flesh is itchy, the world alluring, and the demons noisy. So prayer became a place of rest. It wasn't a striving thing. Even though they were focusing on prayer, even though they were praying more often than they'd ever prayed in their life, it wasn't a striving thing, it was a resting thing. It was this consciousness of just resting in the lap of the Heavenly Father. It was a time of often silence, but it was also a time of passion, of the Lord stirring their hearts for the lost, stirring their hearts for those who needed God, and being so moved of the Holy Spirit that they would pray. Prayer, he writes, was about coming to rest in a constant awareness of God, God's presence in our lives, and we must never start striving or straining under the false burdens of guilt. One of the things that can start to happen when we talk about prayer is you can get different reactions. Sometimes people start to feel like, oh no, I haven't prayed since, and I can't even remember when. And all this guilt and the I should've's, or I... you know, this feeling of, well, I just, you know, this sense of unworthiness or this sense of always falling short in the area of prayer. And that really is a work of the devil to condemn us. And we must never, ever fall under these burdens of guilt. To use words like, I should pray more, or I should have prayed more, or anything like that, I really feel is inappropriate. It's really just best to get on with it, just to do it. There's no point going over, well, I should have. It's simply a recognition of the grace. We can just enter the Lord's grace. We can come into the Lord's grace. We can walk in His favour. We don't have to struggle and strive. And so, after 3 months, They broke the cycle for Christmas. They just wanted to have the Christmas break. And they knew that God was going to do something in the new year. It was the year 2000. And so they broke for Christmas. And Pete wrote in his diary, people were witnessing more, studying Scripture more, and caring and communicating with one another at a deeper level. There have been salvations and blessings in every direction. We've seen new giftings of the Holy Spirit and pastoral breakthroughs in certain people that we wanted to see literally for years. We've broken the 200 mark at our meetings for the first time. We even have people helping out with the administration now. And so, just the expression, there weren't a large congregation, but it just reminds me, just hearing what he wrote in his diary, reminds me of our story, of what we found when we discovered listening prayer. And you've heard John talk about how when we just sat and listened to God, we just sat in silence before God, God did these amazing things. God did this amazing work. There were breakthroughs in people's lives. People who had struggled with certain issues for years, all of a sudden getting breakthrough. And even 18 months ago, when there was that renewed emphasis on listening prayer, you might remember just the story after story. There were Sundays where there was just lines of people giving testimony to the power of God as they just listened to God. They just sat in silence before Him. And so there is this amazing thing that happens when people pray, God moves. When people pray, things happen. Things change. And what started to happen was from this one church who was focusing on prayer in this way, it started to catch on with other churches, and other people started to adopt it, and there was a focus of prayer, not just for a week, but in most churches it was just 1 week. And they were just focused for a week, but there was this consciousness of a prayer baton being handed from one church to another, and they tried to fill the whole year 2000 with an unending chain of prayer. And it happened. And it's now spread to from one nation to the next. This move of the Holy Spirit focusing, young people focusing on prayer. This move of the Holy Spirit is predominantly amongst young people, though it includes people of all ages. And now it's spread to 63 nations. There's been prayer rooms set up in all kinds of places. The Salvation Army took it on, and right through their ranks, through Australia as well, churches were taking on weeks of prayer. And the common testimony that was often heard from pastors or churches or youth groups that took it on, people getting saved. They were growing more. There was more answers to prayer. And really, isn't that our own experience? Whenever we've had a week of prayer, whenever we've had a month of prayer, as we focus on God more, God does amazing things. I remember that month of prayer in 1996 when we were praying specifically for the city and dealing with strongholds to do with the river. And how until that point, the riverbank had been a completely no-go zone. It was just only seen as a place of long grass and where homeless people might be. But now look at the riverbank. The spiritual atmosphere of that place has completely changed. Rockhampton loves Key Street. Rockhampton loves its river park. And now it's all a beautiful place to be. That didn't happen just because a councillor had a good idea. The spiritual atmosphere of the area changed when people prayed. And every time we have prayed, God has done amazing things. And so there is something very quietly happening around the world as people pray. Another thing that happens is that the people themselves change. The third lesson is that from the place of prayer, the call to mission comes. Prayer isn't something that stays on the inside of your room or your house or a prayer room or a church. When people pray, there's a call to mission. God's calling His people out there. Pete tells the story of one of their conferences. There were just so many people that they had to end up having overflow area in the car park. But God used this to tell them something. That the Holy, you'll hear people say about a Holy Spirit meeting, and you normally think of some revival type meeting or something that's happening on the inside of a church. God started to talk to them about Holy Spirit meetings taking place out there on the street. And some amazing things started to happen as they took prayer onto the streets. There was a prayer team that went to I hear different people pronounce this differently. I say Ibiza. I think the English say Ibiza or something like that. It's an island in Spain. It's a party island. Every year in when the season is on, there's about 500,000 people, and it's just like one big nightclub district. It's one of the most depraved, sinful places you could ever imagine to go. And here this team of young people called by God to go and establish a focus of prayer in that place. And from their prayer room, they would go out onto the streets and just offer to pray for people. They would just ask if they had anything they'd like them to pray for. And people would share. They'd say, oh, they need more money, or they want to have a better relationship with their girlfriend, or they as people would start to open up, they'd start to open up the needs of their heart, and just in that place where people would often experience brokenness or drug overdose or broken heart, that they were there to help. And whether it be helping a drunk person back to their room or helping someone who was in a dangerous situation, they were there to help. And God started to do amazing things on the streets of Obizia. And the story of one young lady was, she was perhaps the most timid of the group. She was most scared to pray out loud, the most scared to say anything to anybody on the street. But as the mission time was coming to an end, she just knew she had to say something. So she worked up the courage that night to ask somebody, is there anything I can pray for you about? And so as she was with a couple of other people, and she'd worked up the courage, and there was a young man who was a group of young men coming along, and there was actually a television camera there just sort of filming a documentary. And so this young man says, looks like he's ready to make fun. Hello, what's all this then? And she explains it and just says, well, is there anything we can pray for you about? He says, well, you can pray for my foot. I've got an ingrown toenail. And so she just kneels down right there on the streets of this nightclub district and starts to pray, lay hands and pray for his foot. And he starts to get this amazing sensation over him. And he turns white. And his mates were all laughing and carrying on. But when they see him starting to change, they say, what's going on? And he takes his shoe off, and his mates are saying, hey, don't take that off. It's really bad. It's gross. He keeps taking his shoe off. His toes completely healed. His mates couldn't believe it. And they all start say, well, I've got this prayer request, or can you pray for my mother? She's sick. And so right there. And this is just a little example of what God started to do all over the world in different places as young people, timid young people, ordinary people, scared people, people who felt they were very bad at praying, not good at praying. Amazing results started to happen. The prayer this move of the Holy Spirit continues. There's a team that's gone to East Germany, a little village. No Christians. There's a church building, but absolutely no Christians in the village. No one meets in the church. This team went. They took up residence in a derelict school. They started praying regularly in the church. And they said, in that kind of village, a newcomer comes and everyone's scared. You know, like they're nervous. You know, who's this stranger? When Christians came, they were absolutely terrified. But they opened up the doors. They started to run free art classes for the village and this sort of thing. They're building bridges. And so here's a living witness for them in the team. They find that the community of prayer is something that's really speaking volumes. So the thing I'm wanting to focus on is that when people pray, amazing things happen. You don't have to feel very good at prayer for amazing things to happen. One of the things that I've heard said it again as I read the book or see some of the things about them is they'll say even the whispered prayers. Just a prayer you might utter under your breath. Something that's just quiet, something you just might be saying in passing. God hears every prayer. And something that might be just said under our breath receives a resounding amen from heaven. And the amazing answers to prayer that come to even these simple little prayers. The other lesson I feel we can learn is how our whole life can become a prayer. Everything we do and say, God is part of our consciousness all day. The Apostle Paul said, pray without ceasing. How can you pray without ceasing? How can one person pray without ceasing? There's that sense in which they were praying without ceasing by their 24-hour prayer chain. But that's really just a picture of what's meant to be happening in our life. We are meant to be all day in communion with God. We're meant to have this consciousness of God in everything we're doing. So it doesn't matter whether I'm waking or going to sleep, whether I'm going out or coming in, whether I'm doing my work or interacting with the children. Whatever I'm doing, I'm meant to be doing it with a consciousness of God and this sense that my whole life is being offered up to God as a prayer. Paul said, I urge you, brethren, to offer yourselves as living sacrifices to God. What does it mean to be a living sacrifice except that our whole life is an offering to God? God is not just this little part of our week. He's not just that little time we have in what we might call a devotion time or that 15 or 5-minute prayer, even if we manage to get an hour's prayer. God is not just in that time slot. God is part of our entire day. He's a part of our entire life. And so there's this God consciousness that comes into everything we do. But to do that, to get that God consciousness in everything we do, it's not automatic. It doesn't just happen by itself. We need to allocate specific time to train our minds, to train our spirits, to tune in. And the illustration I really like is when we say it's like tuning a radio. You know, sometimes we can just be getting the static. But as we sit and tune ourselves to God, you just turn that dial, and sometimes you'll just get that, you know what it's like when you go past the stations, you're just a, you know, like the little, you know, the little buzz that's higher than normal. You've got to go back and tune in more slowly. And eventually you get the station. Some of you young people mightn't know that. You just push a button, don't you? It's, anyway, if you get one of those old radios, you know what I mean. You have to tune in. And that's what it's like, just tuning into God. And that time, whenever we can get it, when we can just sit with God and tune our spirit to His spirit, that empowers us then to be able to go out and take that God consciousness into everything we do. And so our words are a prayer. Silence is a prayer. Singing can be a prayer. Painting and drawing. Any form of expression can be a prayer. Anything that we're using to express ourselves to God can be a prayer. I've seen a little thing about some young men who like to get together. They all have this passion for drumming. And they use their drums to offer prayer to God. They use their drums to pray. Well, just whatever works, whatever is that medium of expression. I often find walking really great. Sometimes I find just sitting at home or in a room or an office really hard to pray, because all around me is these things to distract me. There's that book or that email or that, you know, that bill I haven't paid or whatever it is. Sometimes it just really helps to get out of the house. And so often I just like taking our baby, and I've been blessed that we've often had a baby to take for a walk. So for many years I've just enjoyed taking the baby for a walk. And that's my walk with God. And I love it. Sometimes it's nice to go to the beach or up on the mountain or somewhere different. Prayer can be a walk in the park. If we pray, things are going to happen. So prayer is this talking with God. Prayer is this listening to God. It's this communication with God. Prayer can be that time when you're so moved by the Holy Spirit that you start to proclaim things or prophesy things or to bind spirits or do these different things. So if you've come to a prayer meeting and you've sat in the prayer meeting and you hear the other people pray, sometimes you can feel a little... I know it's a common thing said. Sometimes people feel intimidated. Oh, I'll never be able to pray like that. Or I don't know where you think of all those words to pray or that sort of thing. And if that's been your experience coming to a prayer meeting, it's really important you don't let that put you off. Most people who pray some sort of Holy and Spirit-inspired prayer, they can't do that all the time. It's only when the Holy Spirit really gives you the words to say that it happens. And it doesn't happen all the time. Sometimes I'm praying along and it feels like I just can't make one sentence work after the other. And you just feel really silly. But that's okay. Because it's only as you start to pray that the Holy Spirit's able to come in on our prayers and our words. And you really mustn't be worried. A prayer might sound foolish in our own ears, but to God it really matters. A prayer might sound weak to us, but it doesn't matter, because to God it really matters. And God's seeing the heart, God's reading the heart, God's hearing the heart. It's the connection of our heart to God's heart that matters. And that prayer can be something just quiet. Well, oh God, just help that person. Or just, Lord, touch them. Or you might just be talking about your day. God, I had a great day today. Or, God, that just really was a very horrible moment when that happened. Just sharing your honest heart with the Lord. Heart openly and honestly with the Lord. But there might be times where you're moved with such passion, where you just feel the injustice of a situation. You might feel the injustice of on someone's behalf. Lord, save them. Those ones, Lord, who are held captive in our city by the devil, and they're blinded and their ears are stopped and they're destined for hell. God, save them. There's times of passion and there's times of whispering. There's times of silence. There's times of walking and there's times of sitting still. But I'm not really saying anything new here today. I think that you know when people pray, things happen. It is amazing to see and hear all of the different stories of what God's doing in people's lives as they pray. But we've known ourselves the power of prayer. What was Apostle Chuck Clayton's word to us last year? One more push and the wall comes down. And I just feel like for myself, at the end of last year, I could just feel God drawing me more to prayer. But I knew it wasn't the kind of drawing that I'd had before. I mean, you know, I've had times myself where I've just had a week of prayer or done this in prayer. It wasn't that kind of thing. I knew God was wanting more of my whole life to be a prayer. So I'm feeling this drawing to prayer, but I knew that it wasn't like locking God out of other areas. For example, if we wake up and Debbie's telling me a dream that God gave her and we're discussing the meaning of that, it's not like I've got to say to Debbie, oh look, just hold that, love, I'm going to go pray. I'm going to go see God now. Because God's actually in the middle of that conversation. We're talking about what God's saying to us. And God's helping us with something. God's in the middle of that conversation. It's not like when I'm putting the children to bed, it's not like I'm going to say, well, just go to sleep quickly so I can go pray. That right there is an opportunity for me to pray with my children and spend more time with them. And I actually have the desire to spend more time in that, just praying with my children at night time. Sometimes it can be a very quick prayer and when life is very busy. But I know in myself that right there is a time of prayer. And that's as important to God as me going away by myself, being silent or alone with Him. And so I'm conscious of more things need to be seen as prayer. For me, I'm feeling this drawing to prayer, but it's not like I'm only going to count the time when I'm just alone by myself with God as prayer. I'm counting more time, more of the things, the activities in my life as that communication, that expression with God. And indeed, as I said, the whole of my life becoming that prayer. One of the... I'll just read a couple of scriptures. Jesus himself often went to the mountainside to pray. Mark 6:46 says, after leaving them, he went on a mountainside to pray. So Jesus loved to get out of the four walls of the house, go to the mountainside and pray. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul said, night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again. And so here's a prayer request. He's just wanting to see the Thessalonians again. But he's saying he's praying night and day. And so there's this something of the life of prayer that Paul lived that was in every day, night and day. Later on in Thessalonians he says, be joyful always, pray continually, giving thanks in all circumstances. And just the way he says it, be joyful always, pray continually, giving thanks in all circumstances, it just sounds like a way of life, doesn't it? You can just imagine someone going on their way, always being joyful, always in prayer and always giving thanks. That sounds like a great way to live. And so the idea of prayer being a part of every part of our life being a prayer, and as well as developing seasons of prayer, are all valid scriptural themes. One of the things that started to come out in this move of the Holy Spirit is we read at the end of Revelation, "Come, Lord Jesus, come." And so this prayer, "Come, Lord, come." And as you start to pray that for your city, for your neighbourhood, for your friends or for your workplace, that can actually be a really powerful prayer. Come. Come, Lord. Come on, Lord. Come. Come, Lord. Come. Rise, Lord. Come into this situation. Come. Lord Jesus, come. A simple prayer, but it's a very powerful prayer. Another prayer with the word "come" is for the body of Christ. Come. Let's come together. Let's come and rise to this call to prayer. Let's come together and rise and see what God wants to do in this city together. Let's come and answer this call of God to prayer. And then there's the call to the lost to come into the kingdom of God. And we can proclaim it out there in the spirit realm. Come. 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 Come into the kingdom of God. Simple prayers, but powerful prayers. So, I don't know what God's going to call you to in this new year. And I don't really know how all of this is going to be worked in out in us as a body. But I know that God's calling us to prayer. I know that God's calling me to prayer. I know that to develop a greater sense of God and that communion with God throughout my entire day, I need to find times when I'm just having that time alone with Him. And whether I can have that time every day or not is yet to be worked out. Or whether it's just when I can find some time slot in the week or something like that. You know, sometimes with prayer, sometimes people don't get started because if they can't do it every day, they won't do it any day. You know, sometimes you might want to start off, well, you know, I want to pray, you know, X number of minutes every day. But some people know before they start that they're going to fail. There'll be some day that they sleep in, so they don't even start. But that's just crazy. It's not about that. God's not looking for a regular time slot. God's not looking for some, you know, systematic program. God's looking for a relationship with Him. And so I'll grab whatever time I can with Him. It's like the relationship you have with your husband or your wife. If all you have is that programmed time slot, it just doesn't always work. It doesn't always fit in with life. And it's not like if you can't make it that day, then the other one's going to be so offended they're not going to want to talk to you for the rest of the week. No, God's so much more relational than that. God's so welcoming and wanting us to be with Him, wanting us to commune with Him. So I feel God's calling me to prayer in a greater way. God's wanting me to include Him in more areas of my life. There's an increase in passion. There's an increase in intimacy with God. There's less striving. It's a funny thing, isn't it? More prayer, less striving. More prayer, less work. But something that the Holy Spirit is wanting to do, something powerful that will only take place as we give ourselves to Him. And so as there was 18 months ago, that fresh call to listening prayer, and I was just so encouraged when we were moving the office into the new building to find that Elaine Hands had been called by the Holy Spirit to just come and sit in that office listening to God. Here we are moving furniture and she's just trying to sit there and listen to God. But I thought it was just wonderful. And I was encouraged by that. The Holy Spirit's drawing more. It's still drawing us into that place of listening, into that place of prayer. And so I just want to invite you now to consider, what's God calling you to? What's your response to God? It's not like God's looking for a pledge or some decision of, well, I'll pray this many minutes a day. That's not it. It's a drawing of His Holy Spirit. And I think all God's looking for is people to say yes. Not, well, I should pray more, or not, well, I should have. But just to come to Him. Just do it. Just come. Just relate to Him. Just talk to Him. And so, let's just bow our heads right now and close our eyes. There's an invitation here. The Holy Spirit's drawing. What's the Holy Spirit saying to you? There's something very powerful that the Holy Spirit is doing. There's something powerful that God is doing in this city. There's something powerful. God is acting to bring the people of this city to salvation. God is acting to bring about the unity of the body in this city. There are wheels turning that are bigger than what we know or recognize or could even understand. And all God is looking for is for us to say yes. Yes. Yes, God. Yes, Lord, I'll do it. Yes, I'll come to You. Yes, Lord, have Your way in my life. He's just looking and for you to say yes to Him. Will you say yes to Him? And just in this quiet moment now, just feel free to make your own expression to the Lord. You don't have to say it out loud. Just say, what is it that God's asking? Is God asking you to slow down? Is God asking you just to make some time in your week for Him? Is God just asking you to see how He can be part of everything you do? And just to find that time where you can tune to Him. You can't just go into a busy week and hope that God's going to be part of everything you do. You do need to have that time where you set other things aside and tune into Him. Once you're tuned, you can go in that faith and that knowing that He's right there with you. When was the last time you got tuned into God? And when can you next? When are you able to set that time aside for Him? When are you able to take it a moment? Is it tonight after the kids have gone to bed? Is it after church in the quietness of the afternoon? When is that time that you can just sit on the lap of your Father in heaven? I just feel like the Holy Spirit's talking to people. I feel like the Holy Spirit's speaking. I feel like the Holy Spirit's saying, do this. We'll make some time here. We'll come closer. Even now, you just might be feeling far away from God. Right now, you don't have to feel far away from God. Just right now, there's no reason you can't come to your Father in heaven right now. Jesus said, unless you come like a little child, you just can't get into the kingdom of heaven. Now's the time to put aside those weights, those burdens, that heaviness of your heart. Those things that have been troubling you, now's the time just to exhale, breathe out. Give it up to God. Say, God, I'm coming. God, I'm coming. Even if you don't know when, if you don't know how, what it means in your life, and you don't know when you can give time to God, doesn't matter. Just come to God now. Just come to God now and say, Lord, I'm giving it to You. Now's the time to be hungry for God. Say, Lord, I want more of You. I want more of Your Holy Spirit. Fill me afresh, God. I'm so dry. I got so dry, I was full. Lord, a few weeks ago, but now I'm dry again. Lord, I need You. I need You, Holy Spirit. Fill me afresh again. Yes, it's that time to get hungry again for the Holy Spirit. It's that time for fresh filling. It's time to be filled with God again. Yes, Holy Spirit, we want You. You just might want to receive the Holy Spirit where you are right now. Be filled afresh again. Oh, thank You, Holy Spirit. Thank You. Thank You, Holy Spirit. Thank You, Holy Spirit. And I just feel like the Lord's saying, come. And our prayer to Him is, come. Let's all stand together now. We're going to pray together. if you just feel like the Holy Spirit is touching you in a certain way, that you just want to come to the front and make some sort of decision before God or some sort of offering of yourself to the Lord or something, you're wanting fresh filling with the Holy Spirit, you can. I just invite you, you're welcome to come forward. But right now, I just invite all of us, let's pray our own prayer to the Lord out loud. Let's invite the Lord to come. Let's just pray that prayer. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Into our lives, into our church, our fellowship, but into this city. Let's cry out to the Lord to come. Whatever your heart is, whatever you're feeling, let's call out to the Lord. Let's just lift up that united prayer now to the Lord to come. I invite the piano and musicians to come as well, please. Let's offer up a prayer to the Lord. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Lord, we come and we give ourselves to you. Let's pray out loud, unitedly, and offer our prayer to the Lord. Lord, we come and we give ourselves to you. Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Lord, come and fill me in a fresh way, I pray. Lord Jesus. Lord, I thank you for how you have filled me, but Lord, I want so more of you. So much more of you. Fill me, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Lord, and come and fill my family. Come and fill my house and my home. Come and fill us here at Peace, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Fill our worship, fill our praise. Fill our meetings, fill our fellowship, Lord Jesus. Fill our communion, fill our cell groups, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus, come. In a greater way than we've ever known you before. Come, Lord Jesus, come. And come to our city, Lord. Come into the city of Rockhampton. Lord, you've said 2009 is the year. This is the time. This is the day of salvation. This is the moment when the heavens will break. Lord, and the rain will fall. And your Spirit will come in a greater way than we've ever known before. And we say, come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord, come to the city. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Thank you, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus. We want you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just encourage you. Seek the Lord. Let Him fill you. Let Him move you. My prayer is today that you just be inspired by the Holy Spirit to give yourself to Him in a greater way. Young people, my prayer is for you. Is that you'll be inspired in a greater way to give yourself to God. You mightn't have been inspired by prayer before, but let something sink in you to give yourself to God in a greater way.